Good morning. The first reading for today is from Daniel chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord delivered Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, along with some of the articles from the temple of God. This he carried off to the temple of his God in Babylonia and put in the treasure house of his God. Then the king ordered Ashpenaz, chief of his court officials, to bring in some of the Israelites from the royal family and nobility, young men without any physical defect, handsome, showing aptitude for every kind of learning, well-informed, quick to understand, and qualified to serve in the king's palace. He was to teach them the language and literature of the Babylonians. The king assigned them a daily amount of food and wine from the king's table. They were to be trained for 3 years, and after that they were to enter the king's service. Among them were some from Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. The chief official gave them new names, to Daniel the name Belteshazzar, to Hananiah Shadrach, to Mishael Meshach, and to Azariah Abednego.
Well, thank you so very much. Good morning, Emmanuel.
Good morning.
Well, today we begin a 9-week series, a new sermon series that I'm really excited about. It's about one of the most famous of the Old Testament prophets, a man by the name of Daniel, who started out as a 15-year-old prisoner of war, who rose to overcome all obstacles, and then ended up, toward the end of his life, giving counsel to the great emperor of the reign. And so as we look at this today, we think about staying on course, like Daniel did. And that's going to be the thought of it, being unmovable, staying on course, no matter what hits you. And especially this morning, we're going to look at when your world is shaken up. And staying on course has become all the more difficult these days because our church is finding itself on a road that is countercultural to our society. And that means it seems as though everything they say you can do, we're saying you shouldn't do. And so we're going against the grain. We're going against the way the world seems to be going. And sometimes it shakes us up. It shakes us up. And wouldn't you agree that in the last generation or two, there's been quite a dramatic shift in values? Would you say that's true? Everything seems to have turned upside down and inside out. And Isaiah long ago warned that when a nation, any nation, loses the values upon its foundation, that it's doomed. Listen to the passage from Isaiah. You are doomed if you call evil good and call good evil. Destruction is certain when you call darkness light and light, darkness. When right is considered wrong, and what's wrong is considered right. When you claim what is bitter is now sweet, and what is sweet you now call bitter. It says you're going to collapse. The culture won't last. And that, my friends, is exactly what took place 2,600 years ago in the nation of Israel. Because they, like our culture, left the belief in the true God and went after their own gods. And when they went after their own gods, they did whatever was right in their own eyes, and they began to practice immorality in addition to idolatry. And the day came when God said, enough is enough, and he summoned a judgment against them. In 586 BC, God allowed Nebuchadnezzar, the emperor of the Babylonian Empire, to invade Israel. He destroyed the land. He ravaged the temple. He absconded with the temple artifacts. And he took 25% of all the Israelites captive to Iraq, which was Babylon, where Iraq is now, Babylon, for 70 years held them captive there. It was a total disaster for Israel. They lost their freedom because they were not paying attention to what God had said. And that collapse of their culture shook everything to the core. Well, I don't know, but it seems to me that we're seeing the same thing happen in America today. The way we're doing government in America is being shaken. Our freedom of speech and conscience is being shaken. Our religion is being shaken. Our marriages are being shaken. Our families are being shaken. Education is being shaken. The foundation of our moral and ethical underpinnings are being shaken as never before. We're living in a time of great upheaval. But God says, no matter how bad the world gets, I want you to believe, and I want you to succeed, and I want you to thrive, and I want you to remain unmovable. Unmovable. That's the title of our sermon series. No matter what hits you, remain unmovable. Stay on course. Finish well. And that's the story of Daniel, that young boy who at age 15 was taken away. He was taken away from his homeland, Israel, never to see his homeland again, never to see his parents again. Can you imagine this? Never to see his family again. He's taken away and would spend the rest of his life in a foreign land, a hostile culture, where they ate different foods, where they wore different dresses, where they smelled different and acted different and had practiced a different kind of religion. And the book of Daniel tells you how you remain unmovable when everything around you is changing in a direction that is not according to Christ. That's how it all starts. In the third year of Judah, King Jehoiakim's reign, King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon besieged Jerusalem with his armies, and it said, God gave Nebuchadnezzar the victory. Now, this is one thing we need to understand. There are times in history when God will put an ungodly leader over us. And this ungodly leader, though he may not be worshiping God, will still do God's will. God will be able to work through even an ungodly ruler, an ungodly leader, to affect God's purpose. And that's what he did with Pharaoh. That's what he did with Nebuchadnezzar. And Nebuchadnezzar says, select only the best looking, strongest, and smartest young men and bring them into my palace. Now I want you to notice something. The very values that Nebuchadnezzar had in that kingdom that was an ungodly kingdom are the very same values that we hold today. Listen to what he says. I want you to take the best looking, the strongest, and the smartest. Beauty, brains, and brawn. Which is to say, if you are not academically proficient, if you don't have the best athletic prowess, if you don't have the best good looks, then you might as well be put on an iceberg and sent out to sea, because you're worthless to our society. That's what we're led to believe. And so you look everywhere on television and they're trying to make you look what, old? They're trying to make you look young. And even if you're looking like a raisin, even if you're trying to look like a prune, they're trying to make you just like you're 20 again. And it's just everywhere on all the commercials. Those are America's values. We don't even talk about death in our society. We don't value the aged. Those were the values of King Nebuchadnezzar. He said, bring me the best guys. And so they brought him Daniel, they brought his friends, and they put him into an indoctrination center. And it's to make sure that they're well-versed in every branch of learning, that they're gifted with knowledge and good sense and have the poise needed to serve in my royal palace. Teach these young men the language and the literature of the Babylonian culture. What were they doing? They were brainwashing. They were reprogramming these young people into the Babylonian ways. They were to forget they were ever an Israelite. They were to forget they ever had a God. And so Daniel and his three friends were renamed. As Mike said, Daniel was now called Belteshazzar, and his three friends were named Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You see what's going on here? They were being reprogrammed, and they're now a Babylonian, so get used to it. But this young Daniel, just out of confirmation class, he wasn't going to forget his confirmation vows. He remembered the true God. He remembered the God that had led them from Pharaoh across the wilderness into the promised land. He remembered the God that had promised the Messiah in the years yet to come that would come upon earth. And he wasn't going to forget his true God no matter what happened to him. And he kept his integrity and he kept his faith intact in the midst of a hostile culture. And he outlasts three emperors, two cultures, and converts two of the three emperors to the faith. And now he's 85. Now he's retired. And the kingdom is going to seed. And we read that there's a problem, and the empire calls him out of retirement at age 85. So it'd be like you, Pastor Heidel. We're all coming to you now. It's only you. You're the only one that can do it. And so he's coming out of retirement. We still need you. And he does such an amazing job that the emperor puts him second in command. That's the story of Daniel. I'll tell you, there's more to Daniel than Lord of the Rings. This is filled with adventure, intrigue, political plots. But this morning I want you to look at the whole thing, this whole series, and ask the question, what do you do when your life is upended? What do you do when your world is shaken to the core? What happens when you're beset by a death of a loved one, by a divorce, by a failure, by a bankruptcy, by 100 other things that could come into your life? How can you thrive in such a world? You can see in the outline, the very first thing I want you to write down, don't be surprised by adversity. Don't be surprised by adversity. That's what you'd write in there. Here's what the Bible says in 1 Peter. My friends, don't be shocked or surprised when you suffer through painless tests and trials as if something strange is happening to you. Shake-ups are normal for a shaken-up world. We're all shook up. Our world is broken. Our religions are broken. Our government is broken. Our bodies are broken. Our health gets broken. Our marriages get broken. Our economy is broken. The weather's even broken. It's just like Jesus says in John 16, in this world you will experience difficulties, but take heart. I have overcome the world. I told you this so that trusting in me, you will be unshakable, unmovable, and deeply at peace. Unfortunately, the first response we have when something unsettles us is we begin to blame someone else. We begin to ask, why did that person do that? And we project like Adam and Eve did to something outside of ourselves for the problem. Now, this was brought home to me yesterday. Karen, come on up here a second. Karen and I were having a lunch together, and we were having a lunch together, and I was just saying to her, you know, Karen, I was just thinking, I think that I have a flaw. And she starts laughing. She starts laughing hysterically. She goes, really, a flaw? You can be seated now. That's fine. Yeah, she kept laughing. For the whole place was laughing. They were all pointing fingers at me. A flaw. Yeah, get over it, guy. You know, what a moron. My goodness, we're so blind. One of the reasons I'm looking forward to heaven is because in heaven I don't have to hang out with me anymore. I'll be a new, improved me. You're going to like me better in heaven. Yeah, really? I'm going to, you know, it's going to be better there. And I'll like you better too. Just saying, you know. Because all our hang-ups will be taken away when we're in heaven. So regardless of the source of our shaking, what's got us all shook up, I lost my job, I can't get married, I, want to get out of this marriage. This and that. I have this dream. I hit this barrier. Regardless of whatever's shaking you up, and the very first thing is don't be surprised by adversity. Now, here's the second thing. Look for ways that God might use it for good. You're going to have to write several words in there. Look for ways that God might use it for good. Jeremiah 29 says, "The plans I have for you are plans for good and not to harm you. They're plans to give you hope and a future." That's what God did in Daniel's life. He did five things with the problems that Daniel had to face, and we'll look at them over the next few weeks. And they're the same five things that God does with our lives, regardless of the problems that we're facing. What's the first thing? Sometimes God shakes things up in my life to inspect me, to reveal a motivation that's out of whack in me. Somebody said that people are like tea bags. You really don't get to know them until you drop them into hot water. And when God allows a problem to come into my life, then we get to see our true character. We get to see what's out of whack. Jeremiah 17 says, "The Lord searches our hearts and examines our deepest motives so that he can give to each person his right reward according to how he has lived." God inspects us because he's much more interested in our integrity than he is in our image. He's interested in what's in our heart. He's interested in that true religion that comes from our heart, in a love that the Holy Spirit places there, that believes in Jesus Christ and shows love to God and love to others. God inspects us because of that. It's like it says in Deuteronomy about the Israelites. "God led you all the way in the desert these 40 years to humble you and to test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you'd keep his commands." And by the way, when God takes you through a desert, has God ever done that? Have you ever been through that dry, arid, parched place in your life where you have no impulse? You have no feeling even left. God is saying, "Can you worship me? Can you obey me? Will you have faith in me when you can't even feel my presence anymore? Will you love me then?" It's easy for us to love God when we're at some type of giant religious gathering and everybody is jumping up. But God is not so much interested in loving him when you're jumping up in a youth gathering than when you're walking the long road in that parched, dreary desert when you have no feelings and you have no sense of God, but you trust him and obey him anyway. God is testing us. What matters in our spiritual maturity is, will we trust him when we can't see him, when we don't feel him in our lives? Then another reason, sometimes God shakes things up in my life not to inspect me, but to correct me. And that's exactly what happened to the nation of Israel. When they were taken captive to Babylonia for 70 years. The reason they had done that is that they were worshiping all kinds of other gods. There was Baal worship. All these other things were going on. They weren't worshiping the true God. Well, I'll tell you something. When they came back to Israel after those 70 years, that's the one commandment they never broke. "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." They kept that commandment. And when Jesus was walking the earth, that was the one commandment they kept. They were all worshiping the right God, even if they were doing it all for the wrong reasons and making mistakes every other place. And sometimes God will allow things to shake up our lives to correct us. And who of us doesn't need correction? I mean, our whole life is predicated upon correction. I mean, when you think about it, it's how you learn to walk and eat and bathe and read and write and everything else by being constantly corrected until we did it right. A parent that doesn't correct their child doesn't love their child. Sometimes the only way to train is through pain. And so instead of saying, "Why me?" maybe the better thing when adversity strikes us is to say, what should I be learning from this? Because God uses problems to inspect us and to correct us. And then third, sometimes God shakes us up to direct me, to point me in a new direction. Proverbs 16, a person may plan his own journey, but the Lord directs his step. In other words, man proposes, but God disposes. You may think you're going to go this way in your life, but then you hit upon a bed of pain and you're looking up at the Lord and you can't hardly move a muscle. And guess what? Everything changes. Guess I'm not going this way. Lord, you're going to have to give me a new direction. Do you know how God manages to direct our steps? By problems. Have you ever noticed that problems change your direction in life? He redirects us at the very moment that things are flying off the wall. Pain is a powerful motivator for change. So ask the question, where is the problem you're having? How is it leading you to change how you act? Because problems never leave you where they find you. It didn't with Jonah. It didn't with the Apostle Paul. It won't with us. And then fourth, sometimes God shakes us up to protect me. Problems can be a blessing in disguise. Sometimes when we're having things happen in our life, it's not for ill, but it's something for good. Think about what Job said. God has led you away from danger, giving you freedom. You remember Joseph in the Bible, in the Old Testament? Story of Joseph. Any of you remember that? Joseph was taken, he was maligned by his brothers, sold into slavery, brought down to Egypt, accosted by a woman, a leader, who tried to have a relationship with him. He wouldn't do it. She accused him of rape, and he was thrown into the dungeon for many years. And yet God intended it for good, because he ended up being next to the Pharaoh at a time when the Pharaoh needed his help to protect the country. So again, we ask the question, how could your problem be something that is actually protecting you from something else? And one more way. God uses things and problems to perfect me, to make you more like Christ. You might want to write this down in your outline. Pain is the high cost of growth. There is no maturity without growing pains, right? And the very thing that discourages us is the very thing that God will use in us to cause us to develop a more Christ-like attitude. 1 Peter 5 says, after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who calls you to share his eternal glory, will give you a firmness, a strength, and a sure foundation. So we're in school right now. We're all in school right now. None of us has graduated from the school of life. And we're learning things. And as adversity comes our way, we're learning that God would call upon us and give us the strength in order to be unmovable, in order that we might be able to stay the course no matter what hits us. And as we look to Him. We look to Christ, the perfecter of our faith, who at the right time came down from heaven and came to earth, and came to earth not as a Superman, but as a humble servant, taking all of sin upon himself. And yet, with all that was thrown his way, he never wavered. Our Lord Jesus Christ was unmovable. He was steadfast. He was firm to the end. And he took all of the world's sins upon himself, and he put it on the cross, and he died from it. And he separated our sin as far as the east is from the west, so that no matter what happens, we might be able to recognize that Christ is the model for life. Not only the model for life, but also the gift of eternity. Because as he rose from the dead, he gives us the assurance that he has overcome death, he has overcome sin, and that if we have faith in him, that no matter what comes our way, that with Christ, we have the victory. And so my prayer for you, your prayer for me, our prayer for this church, may it be not that we might live and survive this life, not that we live and that we might be successful in this life, but we may live in Christ and be unmovable, that we might be able to finish the course. So that day when we're with the Lord in heaven and he greets us at the gates, he might say, well done, good and faithful servant. Come, join in the joy of the Master. Let's rise and join together in prayer. Dear God, we just ask you to allow us to trust you with all our heart. We want to honor you in everything that we do, our work, our home, our school, everywhere else. And if we trust you and don't depend on our own understanding, if we honor you in everything we do, you've promised that everything we do will be blessed. We're going to believe that today. So teach us through the life of Daniel in these weeks ahead. And Jesus, we want to trust you with all our life, the best we know how. And when we fall short, we know that you'll lift us up. You'll walk alongside us. And when necessary, you'll carry us along the way through life until life eternal. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Heavenly Father, we also pray for those who are hurting and ailing today, as well as those we name before you in our hearts. As you've placed them on beds of pain and hurting and healing, Heavenly Father, may they go to you as the comforter and the great physician of their soul. Bless them in Jesus' name. Amen.